Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. And now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Joseph Lamb. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Matt, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Kicks and Transactional Fees. Today's presenter is Ed Edison. Ed is a senior software engineer working in Raleigh, North Carolina, for Kicks Level 2 support. Prior to working at Kicks Level 2, he was a member of the VSAM Level 2 support group in California. Ed has been with IBM for 18 years, supporting customer VSAM and Kicks. Ed is also a presenter at the Transaction and Messaging Technical Conference and SHARE. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ed.
Thank you, Joseph. Today we're going to talk about transactional VSAM and how CICS interfaces with transactional VSAM. Joseph, if you could please turn the page to the agenda. This is what we're going to cover today. We're going to go over a brief interview of non-record level sharing and record level sharing, an introduction to transactional VSAM, recoverable file sharing between CICS and batch, Palm Live changes you have to make for transactional VSAM, the interfaces to transactional VSAM, your application considerations, and my own personal transactional VSAM user experience, just to show everybody that this does work. Joseph, if you could please go to slide 3. So this is local shared resources before record level sharing. When a task is updating a record in VSAM, it has exclusive control of the entire control interval. All other tasks attempting to reference a record within that same CI will be put into a file control exclusive control conflict wait until the first task completes the update. And here I say consider a data set that has a 32K control interval size and 50 byte fixed records. There's 655 records that can fit into that CI. So there's a good chance that another transaction will be locked out until the update gets completed. Now in CICS Transaction Server 2.1 and above, you can have something called CI lock, yes or no, which would unlock the control interval, but there is overhead with that as well. And we can talk about that later if anybody's got questions about it. But when a task is reading or browsing a record in VSAM, it has shared control of the entire control interval. So if another task wants to update that record, it will also be put into an exclusive control wait until all the tasks are through reading or browsing. Next page, please. So here we see transaction, this is the way local shared resources works today. Here we see transaction 1 doing an exact kicks read on file big on a read field of rec D for update. That transaction would come down and lock out this entire VSAM control interval. If transaction 2 came in and tried to do an exact kicks read of any other record in that control interval, record A, record F, record J, or even record D, he would be put into this file control exclusive control wait, this SCXE wait, until transaction 1 was through. And who knows when transaction 1 is going to be through. He could have done his read for update and went out and done some DB2 SQL calls, and he could have that entire control interval locked up for quite a while. Now, with record lock, he could do a CI lock equals no, and we would only lock that one record, rec D. But again, there is overhead associated with that, and there is also possibilities that other CICS regions can still delete that record out from underneath this CICS region. Next slide, please. So file sharing in CICS before record level sharing. We've always had file sharing. We could function ship to a file owning region. You could have used LU62. You could use MRO if it's within the same MBS. And if it's in the same SysPlex, you can use MRO XCF. You can also come in through EXCI. You could use shared data tables, or you could use coupling facility data tables. Each of these has their own limitations and overhead. So, next slide, please. Here we see a Kicks function shipping before RLS. So if you had ZOS2 over here on the right, you got CICS AOR3 and AOR4. So you have to function ship over to COS1, over to a Kicks FOR, and that Kicks FOR will talk to VSAM. The problem with this is the FOR, the file owning region, is a single point of failure. If that FOR goes down, all of those AORs cannot get to their files. Next slide, please. So introduction to record level sharing. Record level sharing came out, is introduced in DFSMS release 1.3, and it was exploited by CICS TS release 5.10 and above. So record level sharing has been out for a long time. Provides full VSAM data sharing between Kicks regions within a SysPlex. And RLS mode is available for all VSAM files managed by Kicks File Control. So any of your user files you can have as record level sharing. VSAM data sets that are not managed by Kix File Control will not be supported, and that includes transient data, temporary storage, and your local and global catalogs. Those will not be eligible for RLS. And RLS mode is determined at data set open time. If we can go to slide 8, please. Back on introduction of the record level sharing. Once the data set's opened in RLS mode within Kix, you have record locking only. There's no control interval locking. All access to the data set must be in RLS mode within CICS. VSAM will allow you to come in with read-only share option 2 if you have this APAR applied, this OW25251, and that was allowed for people to come in for read-only access and also to be able to do things like run a listcat and so forth. Now, the data set has to be quiesced throughout the Sysplex before switching to non-RLS. So every Kix region in the Sysplex that has the RLS data set open can close the data set and switch to non-RLS. The data set can then be opened in RLS or non-RLS mode. Or one Kix region in the Sysplex can set the set data set name quiesce command. Then the data set can only be opened in non-RLS until an unquiesce is issued. When you're in record level sharing, VSAM is responsible for the locking. That's very huge. And Kix is still responsible for the logging. We've always been responsible for the logging, but in the past we were responsible for the locking. So the big thing is that VSAM is now responsible for the locking. And if we go to the next page, please, slide 9. Here's big locking and locking in Kix before RLS. VSAM would require a control interval lock while an update request is active. After the update is complete, CICS will acquire a record lock if the data set was defined as recoverable. This record lock would be held until the transaction issued an explicit or an implied sync point. Problems are that record locks are not known by other Kix regions, and these record locks are also not known by VSAM. It's an internal CICS thing. So we can go to slide 10, please. Locking with RLS, the locks are VSAM managed. They are Sysplex wide, and they're held at the record level. Update requests are queued until the record lock is released. And for non-recoverable requests, the lock is released at the end of the request. So if you do your Reaper update, there'd be a lock on that. As soon as you did your rewrite, the lock would be released. But for recoverable requests, the lock will be released at the end of a sync point. And this is VSAM DFSMS knowing about these locks. So slide 11, please. RLS and recoverable data sets. This is where transactional VSAM is going to come in, and we'll talk about that in a bit. Recoverable data sets participate in sync point protocol. So anybody in CICS knows this. Changes made by a unit of work are either committed forward or committed backward. So if you made like 50 updates to a data set and you had an add end, you want those backed out. So they would back all those out. But if you sync point them and commit them, then it all go forward. Recovery attributes for RLS have been moved to the VSAM ICS catalog. So when you define your VSAM data set using ID cams, you'll have this log parameter. It can either be undefined, none, undo, or all. And you can have log stream ID there. If you have all, you have to have a forward recovery log stream. You got backup while open type. Now, CICS will check for inconsistencies in catalog definitions at the open time. And you can also use your FCT-defined recovery attributes for non-RLS files. Non-RLS files, if you have log equals undefined, it means you get all the attributes from the FCT for non-RLS. So your resource definition online FCT will still get it for that. Any other value for log means get all the attributes from the ICF catalog. This creates a little bit of confusion. So even for non-RLS, if you defined it with log undo, and then you had in CICS a definition for a backup type none, you would still get undo because we took it from the ICF catalog. And CICS never mixes some parameters from the FCT definition with parameters from the ICF catalog. Slide 12, please. And here's the data set I'm going to be using later, by the way. Data set recovery options for files accessed in RLS mode must be specified in the VSAM ICF catalog. The following is an example. So I have a storage class. That storage class has RLS activated on it. There's my log stream ID that I'm going to be forward recovering to, and log all. So that says log undo, log backout records, and log forward recovery. Slide 13, please. If the log parameter is omitted when the data set is defined with ID cams to VSAM, recovery is assumed to be undefined and the data set cannot be opened in RLS mode. You have to have a log parameter for RLS mode. If opened in a non-RLS data set and recovery attributes are defined in the ICF catalog via ID cams, then the values of the ICF catalog are used. All values in the CICS FCT definition are ignored. Next slide, please, 14. RLS and sharing non-recoverable data sets. This is non-recoverable. So with RLS, any number of KIC systems can concurrently update a non-recoverable RLS data set. That's very huge. You can have 50 different AORs, 8 different ZOS platforms in your SysPlex all updating this at the same time. And any number of batch jobs can concurrently update a non-recoverable RLS data set. So you could also have batch updating at the same time. And vSAM will take care of the locking. Guaranteed write integrity, read integrity throughout the SysPlex for non-recoverable. Slide 15, please. The problem comes in when you've got RLS and recoverable data sets. So now we're talking recoverable. You want to back out or you want to forward recover. Any number of KIC systems can concurrently update a recoverable RLS data set. Still pretty huge, right? You still got those 50 KIC regions on 8 different ZOS platforms, all within the same SysPlex, all updating this at the same time. But the big change here is any number of batch jobs can concurrently read a recoverable RLS data set. They can't update. A batch job may not open a recoverable data set in RLS mode for update. To update a recoverable data set from a batch, you must first quiesce RLS activity and update the data set in non-RLS mode. And now transactional vSAM allows batch to concurrently share a recoverable RLS data set with CICS. Slide 16, please. This is where our transactional vSAM come in. RLS allows batch sharing of recoverable data sets for read. RLS provides the locking. CICS provides logging the two-phase commit protocols. Transactional vSAM allows batch sharing of recoverable data sets for update. Logging is done by transactional vSAM utilizing the MVS system logger, just like CICS does. And two-phase commit and backout is provided using the MVS Recoverable Resource Management Services, our RMS. Slide 17, please. So transactional vSAM addresses the batch window problem for KICs and batch sharing of vSAM data sets. Batch window is a period of time when KICs access to recoverable data sets quiesce so batch jobs can run, requires taking a backup of the data set. Batch updates are then performed. A forward recovery backup is taken if it's needed. And when finished, CICS access to the data set is re-enabled. But these batch windows can grow pretty large. And when these data sets are, you know, everybody's trying to go to a 24/7 shop, and when these data sets are making you money, you want them open 24/7. And transactional vSAM allows concurrent batch and KICs update access to recoverable data sets. Slide 18, please. Transactional vSAM background. Transactional recovery allows a group of updates to a file or files to be associated with a unit of work, a UOW. All are made or none are made. Works the same as CICS and recoverable data sets. A group of updates to transactional vSAM is called a unit of recovery. The UR is composed of all updates made between the sync points. And a sync point is a request to commit or back out update. So anybody that's worked with CICS recoverable data sets in the past is very familiar with this. It's pretty much the same, except it's going to be transactional vSAM covering this instead of CICS. So slide 19, please. Your prerequisites for transactional vSAM is you have to have vSAM record level sharing. It has to be an RLS data set. It can't be a regular non-RLS data set. You have to have system logger, which everybody has now that if you're above transaction server 5.1, you have system logger. And you have to have our RMS. These three components work together to provide the three basic functions necessary for implementing transactional recovery. Those are the three things you need for transactional vSAM, along with transactional vSAM, of course. Slide 20, please. So the RRMS and system logger shipped in. So you need ZOS version 1 release 4, and the RRMS and system logger shipped in earlier releases of ZOS. You need at least ZFSMS component of ZOS version 1 release 4. If you're running with CICS TS 530, which is now unsupported, you need this APAR. If you're running with CICS TS release 620, which is still supported, you need the APAR PQ 73745 for CICS. CICS TS 630 and above, base is fine. And you need CICS VR version 2, release 3 or higher. Now, one thing I will mention is the new release of CICS VR, it's 4.2. That's going to have day one support for CICS transaction server 3.2. And that's going to be huge because everybody's been waiting for extended addressability for entry sequence data sets over 4 gigabyte. And CICS 3.2 is going to allow that. And CICS VR 4.2 is going to support that as well. So it's something to think about if your shop's been waiting for extended addressability ESDS data sets. Slide 21, please. So this is recoverable file sharing without TDS. We can see CICSAOR1 and CICSAOR2 over on the left going over to vSAM RLS, and they're able to read and write. So the KIX function, transaction recovery, KIX will do the logging, the commit, the rollback, and the back out. vSAM RLS will provide the locking and buffer coherency. But you can see batch job 1 and batch job 2 over here, they're only able to do gets or reads. They can only read the data sets. They can't update. Slide 22, please. This is non-recoverable, and you can see CICS AOR1 and AOR2 are now able to still do the read and write, and your batch job 1 and batch job 2 are able to do their gets and puts. So non-recoverable, you're able to batch and CICS update the data set. But there is no back out, there is no forward recovery. Slide 23, please. So this is sharing with TVS, so you still got CICS AOR1 and AOR2 doing the reads and writes, with CICS providing the logging, the commit, and the back out. And now you can see batch job 1 and batch job 2 doing gets and puts. So they're doing updates to this vSAM RLS data set. And vSAM RLS function still providing the locking and buffer coherency, and transactional vSAM is providing for batch only the logging, the commit, and the back out. So you're going to have CICS still doing their logging, commit, and back out for the CICS updates. And you're going to have transactional vSAM doing the logging, commit, and back out for the batch updates. Slide 24, please. I'll let you guys go over this at your leisure. These are the things that you have to change in this IGD SMS XX PharmLab member for transactional vSAM. There's very good information on these. If we go to page 25, in the ZOS MVS initialization and tuning reference, has great details on these, and also the DFSMS books have great details on these. So, but these are the only things you have to change in this or put in this IGD SMS XX PharmLab member for transactional vSAM. Slide 26, please. And these are the changes you have to make for CICS. And there's nothing in CICS you have to change. This page, you can see this page left intentionally blank because there's no changes within KIX for transactional vSAM. We really do not care that you have transactional vSAM. You don't have to set any DFH SIT parameter. You don't have to set any RDO parameter. You don't have to do anything for transactional vSAM to work with CICS datasets. You just have to have it active. Next slide, please, page 27. So how do you access a dataset with transactional vSAM? You define the vSAM dataset as recoverable, and that's with that log parameter on the IDCAM's definition. Either log undo, which means back out, or log all, which means back out and forward recovery. You specify RLS access in the ACB or the JCL. In the ACB, in your batch job, you put MACRF equals RLS, and right away you have RLS access. Or on your JCL DD statement, which is what I did, and we're going to see in my user experience, you just put RLS equals either NRI for no read integrity, CR for consistent read, or CRE for consistent read explicit. So NRI, no read integrity, is the way it is today with traditional vSAM. There's no read integrity. You can get dirty reads. Consistent read says somebody's updating that record and you don't want the answer until it's been updated, either commit, you know, forward or backed out, because you don't want a dirty read. You don't want to read something and have that backed out. Consistent read explicit is very powerful within RLS. That says you've just read a record and you want nobody else to change that record until you've said it was okay by either issuing a sync point or your task terminating. So that's a very powerful read. So recoverable or non-recoverable data sets you open with CRE, input or output open will be in transactional vSAM mode. And recoverable data sets open for output will be in transactional vSAM mode. So if you open with CRE, you have the RLS equals consistent read explicit. If you're recoverable or non-recoverable, either one, you're going to be in transactional vSAM mode because you have to get that lock for that read lock. And if you're recoverable and you open for output, you're going to be in transactional vSAM mode no matter what you have for RLS equals. Slide 28, please. Here's a little chart of that. You can see that the data set type and the type of open, recoverable, open for input there. If you have no read integrity, you're just going to be in RLS mode. If you have consistent read integrity, you're still going to just be in RLS mode because RLS can handle that. You don't need transactional vSAM. But if you open for CRE, consistent read explicit, you're going to open up in transactional vSAM because now you have to get that read lock that nobody else can change until your sync point. So now you have to start talking about recoverable, even though it's recoverable open for input, recoverable open for output. You're going to have the same thing. Non-recoverable open for input. If you have CRE again, you still have to have transactional VSAM and non-recoverable open for output. If you have CRE, you have to have transactional VSAM to get that record lock. Slide 29, please. So transactional VSAM uses the MVS system logger to log change data. It has an igwlog.syslog and an igwlog.shuntlog. These must be unique logs for each instance of transactional VSAM in the sysplex. These are required logs. Transactional VSAM will not initialize if they're missing. And the forward recovery log name is an attribute of the data set taken from the IDCAM's log stream ID parameter. It's mandatory if log all is specified on the IDCAM's definition. The open will fail if the log is not found. And KIX will write to that same forward recovery log. So when you have forward recovery, transactional VSAM will write the forward recovery records to that log, and KIX will write them to the same log. And then the logger logs is an optional log stream used by forward recovery products to quickly reconstruct damaged data sets. It contains tie-up records when data sets are open and closed. The tie-up record says every time I open or close a record, I'm going to put a tie-up record to this logger logs. And that's used for forward recovery. So if you're not interested in forward recovery, you don't need a log of logs. Slide 30, please. So here's transactional VSAM logging. We can see, well, I should have put ZOS, but OS391 there and OS390N over here. Transactional VSAM is calling the ZOS system logger. CICS is also calling the ZOS transaction system logger. And we were logging this one down to the coupling facility. Slide 31, please. Here's the application interfaces, RRS. This contains the unit of recovery identifier provided by the resource recovery services. Application request commit back out via the RRS interface. So RRS has SRRCMIT, which is for commit, or SRRBack, which is for back out. So your batch job will code these SRRCMITs if you want to commit the data, or SRRBack if you want to back it out. RRS drives transactional VSAM. It also drives other resource managers if they're in this unit of work, like DB2MQ, and commit or back out can be either explicit or implicit. So it can be explicit by running that SIR commit or SIR back, or implicit at end of job steps. So when your batch job ends, that's an implicit, if it ends abnormally, that's an implicit SIR back. But if it ends normally, that's an implicit SIR CMIT to commit the data. Word of caution here is that if your batch job updates every record in the data set, there's going to be record locks on those until you issue a commit. So you don't want to lock up every record in the data set. That'd be the same thing as taking it offline to CICS. You want to be able to, your batch job wants to be able to, like, update a couple hundred records, commit those, release the record locks on those, update a couple hundred other records, and release the record locks on those. Slide 32, please. This is what I was just talking about, your batch application redesign. You got to modify your program to request transactional VSAM. We already talked about either the JCL or the ACB. Here comes the important, but break processing into a series of transactions. So your batch is coming more transactional. That's what transactional VSAM means. You're going to invoke RRS for commit and back out. Ensure multiple RPLs do not cause a unit of recovery lock contention. For instance, if you have more than one RPL, one request in your batch job, you don't want RPL 1 issuing a get for update for key AAAA, and RPL 2 issues a get for update for AAAA using RLS read option consistent read, RPL 2 will now wait until RPL 1 commits. So you got to get used to that kind of stuff that you never had to think about before in your batch job. You got to handle potential loss of position at sync point. Commit and back out causes release of all locks, just like KIX applications. So you can't say, I'm going to start reading this with get for update, and then I'm going to issue a sync point that I get for update, the position is lost. You have to reestablish positioning, just like you do in CICS. Do not use file backup restore as a job restart technique. That's the same thing as you're doing today in batch, right? You're just taking a file and you're adding records to it. If that batch job fails, you just go back to the backup and start at the beginning again. Well, transactional VSAM allows you not to do that. You can get a quarter of the way through it, commit those, do another quarter of the batch, commit that, start on your other quarter, and get halfway through that, and an error occurs, you get back out to the halfway point. Then you start at that halfway point instead of starting at the beginning again. So don't use file backup restore as a job restart technique. And there's also new open, close, and logical error codes you have to deal with. Those are in the DFSMS books as well. Slide 33, please. So applications must have transaction perspective when accessing shared vSAM files. RLS and transactional vSAM provide the locking into commit and backout. Shared locks on records accessed with the read option consistent read explicit, and write locks on changed records are held until end of transaction. Commit applies all changes and releases all the locks. Backout will undo all the changes and release all the locks. The application should issue frequent sync points, either commit or backout. Data extracted from shared files must not be used to cross commit and backout. You need to reaccess the records. We talked about that on the last slide. Cannot get a record before sync point and update it after. Do not position to a record before sync point and access it after. Again, same as a CICS application. Slide 34, please. More application considerations, exclusive control of resources. A unit of recovery updating a record in a recoverable data set has the locks until commit, backout, or termination. Other units of recovery wanting the locks will be locked out, and that includes CICS. Like I said, if you read every record in your file for update, until you commit those, CICS is also going to be locked out from those records. Browsing. Batch jobs historically issue a git for update, and that's for read integrity, and move to the next record without issuing the put for update. And you can use RLS options consistent read or CRE instead. And CRE will keep the shared lock until commit backout termination. But if you say consistent read, that's the same thing as your batch jobs issuing the git for update, you still have read integrity. And you want to avoid deadlock. A deadlock will occur if two unit of recoveries both need exclusive control of the same record. For example, URA holds record 1 and one wants record 2, while unit of recovery B holds record 2 and wants record 1. In order to avoid this type of deadlock, it's important that applications access resources in a predictable order. And if you're a CICS programmer, you've known that for many, many, many years. You just have to also do it in your batch application now. Slide 35, please. This is a non-shared versus shared job rerun. I just wanted to put this in here. This is what we were talking about before. On the left-hand side is non-shared. Traditionally, what you do in the, you close the data set to CICS. Now CICS is not able to update that data set for this whole entire batch window. You're losing money because your transactions in CICS aren't running. And what you do is you take a copy of it, you make your batch updates. If the failure, you restore from the copy and rerun the job. So I don't know if it failed 5-6 times. You always start at the beginning. And say there's 10 million records in this data set, and you got up to record 8 million or something, and it failed, you'd have to start from the very beginning of that backup copy again and start your batch updates. Now with transactional vSAM, we got shared over here on the right, and we can see these changes being done. So do your first set of changes, and you're fine. You do your second set of changes, and you sync point. Those are committed. Start your third set of changes, and if that fails, you get backed out to the last sync point, which is your second set of changes. And you start from there instead of starting from the beginning. That's good for your batch jobs as well. It saves a lot of time. Slide 36, please, and we're going to talk about my transactional vSAM user experience. So if we can just move right on to the next slide, which is 37. Here's my IDCAMS dataset definition that I use. This is my personal user experience. I defined this particular data set. We can see my storage class here. I said log off, so I'm going to be doing forward and back out logging. That's my log stream ID. That you need that for forward recovery. I wouldn't need that log stream ID if I was not doing forward recovery. Okay, but that's my IDCAMS definition for the data set. Slide 38, please. So I changed my batch job to open as record level sharing. And option 1 changed to JCL, and that's what I did. All I did was put this at the end. The RLS equals no read integrity. So that's going to open my batch job up as RLS. Additionally, I could have changed the ACB. When you generate the ACB, you can just say RLS, and that will generate the ACB with RLS mode as well. So slide 39, please. So I tried to, just to give you some diagnostics here, I tried to open the recoverable data set in batch without transactional vSAM. And you'll get this IEC 161I009-0778 message. Return code 009 says SMS vSAM address space is not available. Well, it was actually. SMS vSAM was available, but if you look at that 778, it says TBS is not available. So the 778 is actually the one that says TBS wasn't available, and I did a display SMS transactional vSAM. You can see here transactional vSAM is not active on the system. So that's what you'll get if you try to open the data set without transactional vSAM active. It will not occur. Okay, slide 40, please. So I opened a recoverable data set in batch with transactional vSAM active. And you can see here I did a display SMS transactional vSAM all logs command. And I can see IGW log, syslog, and IGW shunt, shunt log. So those are my two logs, my log and my shunt that transactional vSAM has to have. Now remember, I had a report recovery log and it's not showing up. So here's the output from the syslog for the job. I could see that log, you can see here, an IGW474i there at the bottom. vSAM RLS is connecting to transactional vSAM log stream, and there's my log stream ID, that DFHJ05. But then it disconnected from it. So, but it did not, I just want to point out, it did not show up in this display transactional vSAM all logs because it wasn't currently being used at that point. I ran my job, did this, and it didn't show up. 41, please. This is open recoverable data set in batch with transactional vSAM. I did a display SMS DS name, and that was the DS name that I used. And it says, DFSMS requested display transactional vSAM usage of data set was rejected, data set not known to transactional vSAM. Again, because it wasn't being used at that point. I displayed my job, my batch job was called Open Batch TVS, and it also was not known. So the job had finished running, so it was no longer known to transactional vSAM. Next slide, please. So I got a little upset, and I inserted a wait for the unit of recovery. So I inserted a wait in the middle of all this, which you can do with batch with no problem, right? Just insert your own wait, it's batch. So now when I did the display SMS vSAM transactional vSAM all logs, you can see there's my IGW log and my shunt log. And there is also my J05 and my Ford recovery log. So now it knows about this. So those are all the logs that it knows about. And on slide 43, the next slide, please. This is still with the wait in there. It also knew about my job. So here's where I did the data set. And it said, data set's currently in use by the following job. So it did know about my data set after I inserted the wait. And when I did the display job, you can see job name open BTDS. There's my URI, my unit of recovery. And it says it's in flight, and I got 99 locks. So everything's good. So I just wanted to show you that as long as transactional vSAM is running and a job is running, it will show your job. But once it's running, of course, your job's gone. You're not going to have these displays. Slide 44, please. So now I got this open for update, batch job, and I'm going to open the same data set in CICS. So I do an inquire file, open BTVS, which is the same data set, USASSC1.openBTVS.KSDS, and I issue a read for update on the record in the unit of recovery. So I inserted my wait in my batch job, and I issued a read for update on the record. And I get this DFH box Charlie 0164. A request is timed out waiting for an hour or less lock. There are one transactions or transactional vSAMs unit of recovery holding this lock. And you'll get DFH box Charlie 0175. And it tells you the transactional vSAM unit of recovery running in job open BTVS on transactional vSAM instance 3 in MVS MV23 holds exclusive lock on key Charlie-1, 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 Charlie-3 in that data set called entry contention. So within CICS, if you're trying to update a record held by your batch job, you're going to get these great messages. So you got great diagnostics once you start sharing that. If you're having a little bit of problems with sync points and stuff, that we will put out these great messages for you. Slide 45, please. So I did a, just to prove it, I did a Keki read for update for a record not in the unit of recovery. Here I did a read file, open BTVS. My read field was AAAA update. You can see at the bottom the response was normal. That's very huge. This is a recoverable data set, and I got it open to batch, and I'm reading for update from CICS at the very same time. This is very huge. Next slide, please, 46. Now here's a batch job needing a record locked on by Kix. We did it the other way before. So you'll get this IGW message. And it says a request timed out, waiting for one lock. There are one units of recovery holding this lock. And now, instead of DFH, now we worked real hard with DFSMS here. They'll put out the IGW telling you IYNXB, which is my Kix job, holds exclusive lock on this data set causing contention, and there's the key. And then, unit of recovery failed, back out was successful. So, again, this is a batch job updating a recoverable data set, and it just backed out. Back out was successful. That's very huge today. Slide 47, I added a RRS, SRR back macro. So in my job, you can see here, call SRR back. After I've loaded all my records, I've waited on my ECB, and then I did a SRR back. So I wrote all my records, and I issued a SRR back just to prove that this could be done. Next slide, please, 48. So here's an IDCAMS printout of the data set during and after the SRR back. You can see here that the key of record, you can see I did a print of it, and Charlie 1, Charlie 1, Charlie 2, 85 is in there. That's the key of the record, and the number of records processed was 99. So this is after I got to my weight, I ran a print, you can see that record was in there. Then I did a listing of data set USSA1 open batch TVS KSDS. Number of records processed was 0. Now, after I released the, if you remember back on my previous page, after I got out of the weight, I did a back out. So I wrote 99 records, backed them out, and my ListCat shows 0 records. So it did work on a recoverable batch job. Very powerful. Page 49, please. Conflicting opens of a data set. If you try to open and batch TVS with CICS already opened in non-RLS, so you've got CICS having the data set open in non-RLS mode, and you're trying to open and batch batch TVS, you'll get this IEC 161I006-575. The 575 says RLS processing requested, but the RLS sphere is already open for non-RLS processing. And if you try to open with CICS non-RLS while batch TVS is active, you'll get the IEC 161I with a 122, which says non-RLS output processing requested, but the sphere is already opened for RLS processing. So the opens will not be allowed unless you're both either non-RLS or you're both RLS. Next slide, please. Slide 50. Transactional VSAM summary addresses the longstanding KIX batch window requirement, provides read and write access across multiple CICS and batch jobs for recoverable data sets. The major step towards 24x7 KIX online availability, uses RRS as the sync point manager, uses ZOS system logger for data changes, and uses RLS for locking. It does require redesign of existing batch jobs to ensure they play well in the data sharing environment. And slide 51, please. Here's a reminder about additional WebSphere product resources. You can go to these websites here, discover the latest trends in WebSphere technology and implementation, participate in technically focused briefings, webcasts, and podcasts here at this URL. You can learn about other upcoming webcast conferences and events here at this URL. And you can join the Global WebSphere user group community here. We have some great show me demos and tutorials by visiting IBM Assistant. You can get to it from here. And if you want to learn about the electronic service request, the ESR tool for submitting problems electronically, here's the URL for that. You can also, I would recommend, sign up to receive weekly technical My Support emails, and you can sign up for that here. And the next slide, please, last slide, is questions and answers, and I'm going to, at this time, turn it over to Joseph.
Thank you, Ed, for a great presentation. At this point, Matt, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lamb. At this point, we do not have any questions in the queue.
Thank you, Matt. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Ed, for presenting today.